When God speaks to you in mysterious ways, His wonders, He delivers you out of situations that you know that there was no way out. Yeah. Has to be a higher power. Has to be a higher authority. And His Spirit ministers to your spirit. Someone says, how do you find God if there's a God? Well, you kind of listen a little bit. Listen. And you'll find out that sweet, sweet presence of the Lord finds you and ministers to you. Amen. You know, when you're not sure about something, you first thing, especially in the animal world, we have bird feeders outside the house. Sister Cox loves the hummingbirds and all of the different cardinals that comes to eat, but it doesn't take too much to frighten them. You can, even though you're in the house and then the bird feeder is outside, when you begin to move, they sense something's not right and they fly away. Human beings are somewhat like that. What we are not sure of, we run away from. Sometimes when people are trying to help us, we run away from them. Probably because we don't know how to accept help or how to be helped. Or we don't want people to think that we do need help. Probably the biggest problem. God's wanting to draw people. The scripture in the Bible says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation. In other words, you can't see what God is doing if you're running away from God. You can't comprehend what He wants to do in your life if you are just on the move all the time. The grass looking greener on the other side of life. Or you just got the jitters. You can't sit very long. You got to get up and move because you just do. That's how you're made or how you're built, so to say. But the things in our lives that God wants to confirm, and only He can do that, and He can satisfy a soul no matter where that soul may be found and what condition it is, what you're going through in life, He wants to be able to satisfy you from the standpoint of solving your problems and taking care of things in your life. I want to draw your attention to the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, the book of beginnings. Genesis chapter 26. And we want to read verses 1, 2, and 3, and then drop to verse number 12. Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 through 3. And then we'll drop down to verse number 12. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Amalek, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down unto Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. And I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give thee countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Now let's drop down to verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. If we will stay where God wants us to stay, you'll find abundant grace in that place. The Civil War came late into Louisiana and stayed long. And by the time the battle of and for Mississippi grew strong and the war was raging, it was towards the end of that particular conflict of the Civil War when the war came to the area, the city of New Orleans. The McHenry family, not wanting to be caught up with the war, they fled to Texas. And they stayed in Texas. And when the war was over, they went home to their home, which was called Avery Island, a community built on a salt dome in Louisiana, Bayou country. What they didn't realize was that the salt was going to be a part of their salvation. And that some Caspian hot peppers was going to add to that as well. As the story goes, a dozen years before the Civil War, a soldier returning from Mexico gave Edmund McHenry some dried peppers. And so he liked those peppers. And living on this little island called Avery Island, he decided to plant them, and they started cultivating these peppers. The real business of that island was a salt mine, where the McHenry family mined salt and shipped it across the country. But at the end of the Civil War, as they came home from Texas, they took stock of the island, of what they saw. They planted these peppers from Mexico and left on their own. These peppers began to take over the island. As far as they could see, there was hot peppers growing everywhere. The crop was so messed up and so ruined, and the house they had lived in and left was plundered. There was little left except overgrown fields of hot peppers. So Mr. McHenry took stock and realizing what he had salt and he had peppers. And he had both of those things in abundance. So he decided to stay on the island and he got to work. He harvested the peppers and began to process and devising a spicy sauce using the salt from Avery Island and some French vinegar. He started digging through the landfill down at the town dump. He had located about 350 discarded perfume bottles. He cleaned them up, of course, and he filled them with the red, hot-looking sauce that he had made. This sauce quickly became a hit and has traveled around the world. In fact, I've got some in the refrigerator at home. Today we know that sauce as Tabasco sauce, the Tabasco company. It's run by a fifth generation of this family, and it all started with a man who refused to give up and was determined to be blessed. I want you to know this morning, that's what it takes. A determination to never ever give up on God. And determine in your heart and your spirit that you will be blessed of the Lord. I take you to another man found in the only chapter in the Bible solely devoted to him. And in this chapter in Genesis, we find out this man's name is Isaac. Isaac is sandwiched between his more famous father, Abraham, and his equally more famous son, Jacob. Isaac is just normally ignored. His life is marked by a few triumphs and by many trials. And when you begin to read the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, you find that this particular chapter, chapter 26, Isaac begins to shine. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Seems like there's always a famine of some kind or another. A famine of want, a famine of food perhaps, a famine of finances, a famine of happiness, famine of joy. You try to find the answers. Here, Isaac, he went unto Amalek, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Sometimes God appears to you in the most unlikely ways and most unlikely positions that you find yourself in. Here among the enemy, among the Philistines, the Lord appeared to him in verse 2 and said, go not down into Egypt. Now his daddy, Abraham, had gone down to Egypt before. But God said to Isaac, I don't want you to go down to Egypt. I want you to dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. I'm so glad there is a land beyond this present world. I'm so glad even though I'm in the world, I am not of the world. Why? Because I've been transformed and translated into another country. In verse 3, it says that Isaac sojourned in this land, and I will be with you. The God said, I will leave you. I will not be far from you, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and to thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform. When God says something, he means it, and he will perform it. When are you going to answer my promise that you gave me a long time ago? He will answer it. He really will. Isaac, you're about to be blessed. So we find that where Isaac finds himself in a land where God tells him to go. Grace in this place that God had placed you. I'm so glad that this Community Life Center is a friendly church. I'm so glad I'm amongst friendly people. We mentioned this in my office this morning. The Bible says if you want friends, you must show yourself friendly. Well, they don't speak to me. They don't smile at me. They don't seem to give me any courtesy whatsoever. Or if they don't respond to me, it doesn't make any difference. You smile at them. You shake their hand. You love them. Guess what? God loved you before you ever knew God. In your stinking, rotten life of sin, God still was your friend. God loved you. Before you ever knew him. And how do we get the attitude is that I can do anything better than what God can do? There's something about this gospel that's so powerful is that we love one another. Doesn't mean that everybody will love you. Everybody will be, you know, just your buddy, slap you on the back. What it does tell me is this, that I make the difference in my own life. I make the difference of love and I make the difference of friendship. In fact, it's a smile on my face, not your face, that makes the difference. Amen? You see, God loves you. God loves me. He loves those that don't even know that they're loved by God. Before you were born, he knew you. Before you drew your first breath, he already had a future plan for you. Before you cried out in repentance and asked God to forgive you of your sins, he already offered the supreme sacrifice. Someone say, God loves me. Say that to yourself. God loves me. Come on, say it again. You need to hear that. You need to hear it from yourself. God loves me. You need to look in a mirror because you are a living, breathing miracle. When you look at another person's face, you're looking into a miracle that's been born again of water and a spirit. The powerful thing about the gospel is there's an opportunity to translate from one country to another country. Become a citizen of heaven. Become a citizen of a new country that's free and open and that in that place there is grace and mercy where God has brought you to. It seems so effortless to awaken in the morning and smile and say, good morning. What's so good about it? Well, I know you got problems facing you. I know you've got difficulties facing you. I know you have sorrow on the horizon. I know the doctor's not going to give you too good of news, but let me tell you what, it is a good morning because God gave you that morning. Amen. This is the day the Lord hath made. It didn't say I'm going to rejoice in it if everything goes good. I'm not going to rejoice in it if the doctor gives me a good report. I'm not going to rejoice in it if I get a pay raise only. This is the day that God has given me the opportunity to make a change in my surrounding, to change the atmosphere in where I live and where I breathe and where I work. Amen. Within your mind is a network of neurons that result in the five senses through which we take in our world. Sight, smell, taste, and sound, and touch are entwined in the central nervous system of our bodies and are minute and small in size, but they're majestic and they are efficient in the feeling and the sensing of the presence of God. You can distinguish between hundreds of colors. You can discriminate between as many as 10,000 smells. Your skin is so sensitive, it feels the brush of a soft feather placed upon it. Your hearing is so acute, you can hear the faint rustling of the breeze in the trees. A single human brain generates more electrical impulses in a single day than all the world's telephones put together. Your emotions, your attitudes, and sense of well-being resides in a tiny part of your brain, no larger than a southern pecan. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you do know that God is good, don't you? You do know that, don't you? The average human body contains enough sulfur to kill fleas on an average dog. You've got enough carbon in your body to make 900 pencils. Potassium to fire a small cannon. Maybe that's why some of you keep going off all the time. I don't know. You're cannon practicing. I don't know. You've got enough adipose tissue in your body. Let me tell you what that word means. Let me translate that word for you. It means fat. You have the most adipose tissue to make 7 bars of soap out of your body. Phosphorus to make 2,200 match heads. You hotheads. And enough water to fill a 10-gallon aquarium. You have the right stuff to make it. God made you that way. God created man and gave him a suitable environment in which to live. As each new day brings a fresh start, God designed your body to be rejuvenated. Rejuvenated. I like that word, rejuvenated. Once I was sin, but now I've been found. Hallelujah. Rejuvenated, remade, reconstituted. Amen. In God's grace and mercy. In the time it takes me to say this sentence, 50,000 cells in your body will die and be replaced with new cells. Whoa. Your body is a work in progress, constantly renewing itself. You can make a new skeleton in about 3 months. You can form a new skin every month. The tooth is the only part of your body that can't be, or you cannot, or it cannot repair itself. But you see, God designed you to be renewed. Renewed in your faith. Renewed in the power of God. He gives you new grace morning by morning, day after day, from faith to faith and glory to glory. Why? Oh, you know why? Because He loves you very, very much. But the enemy wants you to believe that you are not loved. The enemy of your soul is a name and is not mentioned very much, and all we know him by a title, and that is the devil. Oh, you surely don't believe in a devil in this modern age. I'm going to tell you what, he's just as modern as he ever has been. Yeah. All right. You have an enemy of your soul. Enemy that wants to be the distractor from God. Come on, Eve, bite this apple. You know, soon you take a bite of that apple, you're going to be just as smart as God is going to be. She took a bite of that, whatever fruit it was, and gave it to Adam. Achan in the Old Testament believed the lie and picked up the accused thing, destroyed his whole family. Yizai in the Old Testament felt slighted and decided to give in, get even. Jonah rebelled. Elijah nearly gave up. The bottom line is this, dear church. Does God really love me when I feel like nearly giving up? When I decide almost to give in and go back to the world? Does God really love me? Almost, I believed a lie. Almost. I want to tell somebody, God wants to tell somebody here this morning, I don't care what edge you're on, there's grace in this place this morning. Before we go on, let's establish this. In the best of times, God is good. In the worst of times, He's still good. God is good in spite of circumstances that you're going through. God is good in spite of hardships. When I'm bad, God is good. When I'm ugly, God is sweet. So we praise Him for His mercy, and everlasting mercy it is. And we get weary, but His goodness endures forever. Isaac is on an obscure situation in the scriptures. He's the only son born to an aged Abraham and Sarah. Isaac is the one who was almost sacrificed. He's the one who waited until nearly 40 years of age to get married. Now I'm ministering to someone right now. Much of Isaac's life is a reflection of his father Abraham's life. I want you to consider this. Abraham had to leave his birthplace. So did Isaac. Abraham almost lost his wife. So did Isaac. Philistines were envious of Abraham, and likewise they was envious of Isaac. Abraham remained childless for a very long time. So did Isaac. Abraham had one righteous son and one wicked son. Ditto for Isaac as well. Finally, Abraham was tested with a famine, and so was Isaac. The oral law of the Jews observed everything that happened to Abraham also happened to Isaac. Children, for good or ill, go through many of the same things their parents did. And as you trace Isaac's life, you find him learning the same lessons as his dad Abraham did. Abraham left behind some markers, some altars, and wells for Isaac to dig up and to follow. When I look at these scriptures, I realize what a great example is for parents today. I want to tell some parents here this morning, leave some markers of success. Yeah. Record some victories. Some testimonies of God's provisions for your children to follow. Like breadcrumbs through the dark forest, these will show your children the way. We do not fight only for today, we fight for tomorrow as well. Some of you fathers and mothers need to set a good example for your children. Amen. I want them to turn out different than I turned out. Well, then you've got to show them how to turn out better than how you turned out. You say, guide them and lead them along the way. Gives them some examples to go by. For example, let's start with coming to church when the church doors are open. Your children will not follow God much further than what their parents had followed God. And if you're not faithful, don't expect them to be faithful. Come on, this is Pastor talking right now. Spirit of God wants you to understand this. You cannot make your own decision, your own ways, when you think you want to do it or when you don't want to do it. Come on. Oh, yeah. Where He leads me, I will follow. Until the famine came, Isaac's life was in a dim reflection of his great father's life. When the famine came in Abraham's day, he went to Egypt. Isaac was prepared to mirror his father's example, but God changed that. God stopped him. Stay put, don't leave. Remain in this land. God breaks the pattern. If you're used to jumping around, running here, there, and yonder, looking for something different, God wants to break that pattern in your life. God wants to anchor you. Why was He wanting to anchor you? Because He wants to bless you. He wants to bless your life, and to get blessed of God, you can't be jumping around and running around. You've got to anchor yourself in the land that God put you. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I don't think this, I don't know this, and you're unstable, and you're just here, there, and yonder. Your thoughts and your actions, your life is just up and down, here, there, and yonder. And you ask, why isn't God doing this, doing that? I know this may seem a little hard, but let me tell you, Jesus is about ready to come. The Lord's coming back for a church. He's coming back for a people of His name. He gave a perfect example when He gave the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Five was wise by attending to the lamps. Why is that so important? Because the oil in the lamp is a type of the Spirit. And if you let the oil or the Spirit go out in your life, you cannot know which way to go. You cannot find your way through this world. You cannot find a relationship with God that you need when your Spirit has gone out in your life. When behold the bridegroom came, behold the bridegroom, those that knew they wasn't in the right place, out looking for the oil to fill the, oh, give us some of yours. Let me buy some of your oil. You cannot buy the Spirit of the Lord from another person. You can't go to another family and say, oh, I want the same Spirit that's in your family, and the power and the love of God I see in your family. Oh, no, it won't work that way. Will not work that way. Will not go that way. And while the foolish, it's not time to be foolish. It's time to hear God say, here's where I want you to be. Here's where I want you to establish yourself in my kingdom. Because if you establish yourself in my kingdom, I will bless you and give you all the desires of your heart because you've been faithful and planted yourself in the will of God. He does not want your pat answer to life's questions. Rather, God wishes to give you heavenly wisdom. He does not want to be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. Can I tell you the biggest struggle above Christians today is the fact is they want God to be there, but they do not want God to be the one who directs their lives. God wants to be your life. He wants to be the one you look to, the one you follow. He does not wish you to be your map. He wants to be your map maker. He does not wish to be an item on your to-do list. He wants to be your to-do list. He wants to be your all in all. So Isaac heard from God when the famine came to the land, and God told Isaac to sojourn in the famine-stricken land inhabited by fierce Philistines. God uses unlikely places. God told Isaac to remain in Gear. The place had two strikes against it, in that it was in the midst of a famine and occupied by some of the bad, bad people. The third strike against it was that it was a place of contention for his father. His father had struggled in this place and only gradually earned a degree of respect. A church, a congregation, a house of God, it's not a place where you go to find respect. It's where you go to find God. Isaac was told to stay in the land. If you stay where God places you, if you stay in that place, God said to Isaac, I promise you, if you stay, I will bless you. But God, Isaac must have cried, this is a bad place. Nobody likes me here. Nobody's friendly here. There's a famine in the land. You know, we can create our own famines. There can be a famine for they hear the word when you refuse to hear the word. There can be a famine. Yeah. There can be a famine of blessings. See, just don't take the things of this world as when things get good in this world that God is blessing you. Your blessing comes from Him. It's something about He'll bless you physically. But let me tell you what. If you get all the money in the world, you get all the fame in the world, but you don't feel comfortable in your spirit, you feel unsettled in your spirit, let me tell you what. That's not a blessing. It's not a blessing. It's when you feel the peace of God inside of you. Someone wrote a book a long time ago entitled, You Need to Bloom Where You're Planted. I've been teaching the past two Wednesday nights upon growth, spiritual maturity. The end result last Wednesday night was that it starts with a blade down here and it ends up with a full stalk of corn over here. And that stalk has ears of corn in it. What's so important about that? Well, on that ear of corn is many individual grains of corn. Those grains can be used to plant more and get more corn. Amen. It can feed a family. It can feed a nation. God is looking for a church that will grow to maturity, to full ears of corn, that in it it may have bear fruit that's going to feed not only yourself, but also feed those around you, feed your family, and also feel a city that you're living in, or a county that you're living in, a world that you're living in. Amen. Amen. God told Isaac, remain in Gear. Stay in this land. I've heard people say that one place is no more blessed than another place. I personally remain unconvinced. God was trying to get Isaac to connect himself to the land, and only if he did so would God bless him. If you can't get connected to the body of Christ, how can God bless you? God wants you to be connected to the body of Christ. You've got to stop running. God wants you to connect to the body of Christ. God tells you to stay put, drive some stakes, homestead the territory. What God is saying here is, He seems to be saying, I work my will in the midst of unlikely places. We forget this about God. He is the root out of the dry ground. He arrives on the fourth day, one day too late, they said. No, God's never too late. who rises in the fourth watch of the night, the darkest hours, when it seems so dark, so hopeless, I can't hear from God, I can't find an answer, hang on, because He will show up. There's grace in that place He planted you, He placed you in. He works through circumstances to shape His will. Isaac, you got to stay in the land. But there's a famine, the sky is empty. There's no cloud, there's no rain. The river has dwindled to nothing. The well has gone dry. I don't feel anything when I go to church. The Job situation does not look good. God says, stay in the land. Marriage is getting rough. My friends have deserted me. There's friction on my job. Problems with my family. Stay in the land. Stay where God has placed you, in the kingdom of God. Don't run from it. You'll never quit. You'll never quit. And you'll never know what you are running into when you start running from God. Remember Naomi? She ran out from Bethlehem, house of bread, during a famine. She and her husband and two sons ran to curse Moab. She returned with those three and says, they died there, sons, husband. She said, call me Mara because I'm bitter. I've seen a lot of people walk out on God, walk out on the kingdom of God, and they become bitter. Bitter is the person who runs from God. The Bible says a famine will come for hearing of God's word. People often run from the famine because they have not received a word from the Lord. And when times get rough, we need a word from the Lord. Here's the word. Stay in this land and I will be with you and I will bless you. Facts are not always truth. You heard me. Facts are not always truth. Line up all the facts that seem to justify a certain course, and I will give you one truth opposite of all those facts. When God says, stay in this land, He's telling you to ignore the facts and rest upon the single truth that God moves in the unlikely places. You may be in trouble. You may be afflicted in your body. You may be going through financial difficulties and difficult things in your family, but stay in the land. The facts are there. It doesn't look good. But let me give you a truth. God will never leave you nor forsake you or leave you. He takes Amos from a sheepcote. He finds David in the back pasture herding his daddy's sheep. He meets Moses in a desert. Moses feels deserted. He finds Job in the trial of his life. He meets three Hebrew children in a fiery furnace. He locates Daniel in a lion's den. He escorts Peter from a prison cell. He works in surprising places. So Isaac received this word. And what did he do? Genesis 26, verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land. You need to learn to sow in desperate times. Let me say it again. You need to learn to sow in desperate times. Please notice that Isaac heard from God. He received a more sure word of prophecy. A nail in a sure place. He stayed where God told him to stay. Then Isaac acted upon that word. He sowed in the midst of famine. You need to sow some faith. Sow some hope. No, it's not just another church service. Not another Sunday morning. No. It's a place of sowing. It's a place of sowing. Isaac sowed in that land, in a land gripped by famine. He sowed in that land, a land of adversity and harsh climate. He sowed the seed in the face of his enemies. He sowed in that land. How much faith did that take? Each handful of seed thrown and cast out. Isaac had to ignore the dust around him. Being unsettled sometimes seems so dusty. You can almost kick it and its dust clouds come up. What can grow in this? It's like the man in the Bible who had leprosy. And the prophet came out and said, go down to this river and dip thyself 7 times. Instant response. Ah, I've got better rivers in the country that I came from. Cleaner rivers. Not dirty like that, Jordan. When you can't find any other answer. When there's no other settlement for your spirit that you feel settled. Dip yourself, immerse yourself in the presence of the Lord. It may be dusty. Sow the seed anyway. Sow some faith, sow some hope, sow some love, some kindness. And Isaac sowed in the land. A church, a congregation, not any better than the seed that it sows. Amen. He sows some seeds of love, seeds of compassion. Sow some seeds of grace. Oh, come on, Pastor. It's just dusty. Dust. It's not the dust. It's the blessings. It's the blessings. Wow. Be obedient to what God's called you to do. It's doing the best things in the worst of times. It's going for the gold when your heart feels like lead. It's reaching the prize when you feel like you're in the last place. It's ignoring your surroundings and your critics and finding God in the midst of it all. Isaac, that's a lot of seed you're sowing, son. There's a law about God. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. In the same year, Isaac reaped 100 times over. In the same place as the famine, he reaped 100 times over. In the same place that he sowed and believed. When the word of God is sowed, lives become fruitful in a place that God placed them in. I like what Naomi said. As I come to a close here, it's Naomi in the Old Testament, Book of Ruth. She came to this one conclusion. I went out full and came back empty. Isaac said, I went out empty and came back full. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. God heard from God and obeyed. He overcame restrictions and refused to be discouraged. Need to hear the word of the Lord today. Need to trust and obey. Somebody needs to hear this word. God has given it this morning. If you'll trust and obey, then you will be victorious. Not of the things that you have of this world, but of the things that you have of God, which is far more and greater riches. A peace that passes all understanding. Do not doubt, do not fear. God's working on your behalf. There's grace in an unlikely place. There is a rose between two thorns. There's a stream flowing in the desert. And there's honey in the rock. Oh, that we could trust God. It's been said, I don't need to see the whole staircase. I just need to take the first step. Because I know the rest of the steps are there. And you climb higher and higher, one step at a time. Wow. What one man could do with a little salt and a little hot peppers. What one man could do with some salt in one hand and hot peppers in the other. And make me some good hot sauce. What God can take of your situation and your circumstances. And His grace. And make it alive. Make it alive. God wants you to know that, and I think there's some here this morning needs to hear this. God wants to prosper you. God wants to prosper you. But you've got to sow right where you're planted. There's nothing down in Egypt. There's nothing down in this world. Nothing. God says, I've taken you there and I've put you over here in my kingdom. Right here. Sow in my kingdom. And I'll bless you 100%. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads this morning with me? Sweet Holy Spirit of God. We live in restless times, pressured times. Father, we really don't have answers to all the questions in life. But I pray, give us the strength to listen to your word and stand fast in the place that you have placed us. And let us sow hope to a city, to a family. Let us sow love and grace and mercy. And God, we thank you for blessing it 100 times over. And I'm so glad, God, to be part of a congregation that loves you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Who are growing in grace and growing into maturity in the Spirit of the Lord. Bless us, Lord, I pray. Every family, every individual, every life. Let them discover that where they're at, they can sow and reap awesome blessings. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, 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 amen.